Unleavened Bread Ministries presents Hidden Manna for the End Time with your host, David Eales.
Hello, friends. This is David Eales. God bless you and thank you for joining us. We have some very important revelations to share with you that were shared with me over the last 30-something years, sometimes in word of knowledge or word of wisdom. They are very, I'll say, untraditional, but you should expect that in these days. The traditions of men have been making of no effect the Word of God. And these revelations will help you to cooperate with God in the time to come in manifesting His Son in you and in understanding the things that are going on around you and the great purpose that God has for these end times. May God give you eyes to see and ears to hear, so that these will be a great blessing unto you. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. You may hear some things here that are not fitting with your traditions. God bless you.
Part 20, Wilderness Living Now.
I got one little boy, Nathan. This guy is awesome. He just is headstrong. You know, he just, I think it was within about 2 years, he had gashed his head open all the way to the skull 3 times. And God stitched him up every time. Literally, one time he came in, he had jumped off of a big electric spool in the backyard and hit a piece of pipe, and it just gashed his head right through to the skull, right up here. And we looked at it, we washed it off. I prayed over it and sent him back out to play. And a few days later, there was a little clotting up there, but it had kind of pulled together. And you know, the Lord stitched that thing right up. But in a week or 2 or 3 weeks or something like that later, he comes in the house and there's a gash in his head, right in his head, across here like this. And my wife said, David, it didn't work. I said, wait a minute. Just wait just a minute. Let's look at this. Okay. We got the parting in his hair. And I says, Mary, come look at this. There was a gash in his head right here. And right over here, there was another gash in his head right beside it. You believe in a sovereign God? I mean, that's not possible. This time, he had, on barbed wire, he gashed his head going through some barbed wire. And it was deep, you know, just like the other one. Right next to it. I said, Mary, it's a different cut. Let's believe God again. We did. The next time, it was right across his forehead, right here. Just right open. I went to sleep that night. I saw a vision. I saw me peeling the tape off of that thing the next day. And when I peeled the tape off, there was nothing there but a little line. You know what? I got up, I pulled the tape off the next day. There was nothing there but a little line going across his head. The Lord had already stitched it up. So I knew this, and I told the doctor, I said, no, you're not going to stitch me up. I'm going home, you know. And my wife was coming in the door, and she looked at me and she says, oh, David, I don't think I want to look at that. Would you please let him do this? And I says, okay, go ahead. So the guy, this is the only time I've ever been touched by a doctor in 30 years. He stitched up my chin. Guess what? The Lord wouldn't let it work. He wouldn't let it work. I went home and that thing just popped wide open. And then God stitched it up. He wouldn't let it work. And they wheeled me over in a wheelchair, got me in the car. When I got home, my neighbor, who was a man of faith, just like me, decided he was going to come pray for me. He came over and lifted me out of the car and took me in, packed me inside and set me in the bed, and we prayed the prayer of faith. Because my muscles still wouldn't work, you know. But I had my sight back, and I was seeing real good, thank God. And within a couple of days, I was up hobbling around, and I walked around my neighbor's house. The neighbor next to me was clearing his property, and he had a front-end loader, and he was pushing over some trees and limbing them and putting trunks on the fire and so on and so forth. So I was just kind of hobbling around, just best I could do. I made a lap around his house. I came by this fire that was burning with a bunch of the limbs on the fire. And there was a trunk laying next to that fire. It was a pretty good-sized tree trunk. The only thing there was the trunk. And I thought to myself, because I'd been helping him before this to help clean the property, I thought to myself, I'd like to grab that trunk and just kind of heave it over on the fire and burn it in half. Then we could handle it real good, you know. And that thought was in my mind. And then the next thought came to my mind was, yeah, but there ain't nothing holding your arm on but the meat, you know. I mean, your arm is broken. And if you pick that up, you're going to leave your arm on the ground. And the next thought came to me was, now wait a minute. If I'm healed, I can pick that up. That's the thought that came into my mind. And I knew that was the one that was scriptural. And I knew it was the one that came from the Lord, because that's how you see miracles. So I reached down and grabbed hold of that log and just heaved it over on the fire and never felt a thing. Literally never felt anything. So I decided, hey, it's time for me to go back to work, you know. And I did. I went back to work. And I went through Exxon's dispensary, I guess they called it there, because if you had an accident like that, they personally would check you out to make sure you were ready to go back to work. So there was this doctor, and I told the doctor, I said, "Doctor, I'm ready to go back to work." He was looking at his records and everything, and he says, "No, there's no way you're ready to go back to work. It takes at least 12 weeks for a break like this to heal." I said, "Well, doctor, the Lord healed me." "Uh-huh." I said, "What religion are you, doctor?" He said, I think he said, "I'm Episcopalian," or something like that. I said, "Well, don't you Episcopalians believe that God heals the sick?" He said, "Yeah, we believe he heals the sick, but we believe he uses doctors to do it." I said, "Well, he didn't do it this time." He said, "Well, you're going to have to prove that to me. You go take this x-ray." So he sent me off to get an x-ray. Exxon had their own x-ray machine. So I went in there and took the x-ray. Next time I was back in his office, he was there reading the x-ray. He said, I was watching him, you know, and he kind of shook his head a little bit. He said, "Something's wrong with this." I knew immediately. I said, "No, doctor." I said, "There's nothing wrong with that." I said, "The Lord healed me." I said, "Could I do this?" And I did a few little calisthenics for him, you know. I said, "Could I do this if I had a broken arm?" He said, "No, I don't think you would. I don't think you'd do it without a lot of pain, you know." I said, "No, doctor, I am healed. The Lord healed me." He said, "Something's wrong with this. They took this from the wrong direction," or something, you know. He thought they'd x-rayed it the wrong way or something. I said, "No." And I finally convinced this guy to let me go back to work. Finally. And the first job I had, at that time I was a machinist. After that I'd become a supervisor and stayed there for quite a few years as a supervisor. But at that time I was a machinist, and I had a job on top of a big cooling tower. And these big cooling tower stacks on top of this cooling tower had gearboxes with fans in them that were just monstrous big fans. They sucked air up through these cooling towers and cooled the water for the refining process and so on. And first job I had was, they had put the gearbox back in there, and the stack was around this thing, and it was a fiberglass stack, and you have to stabilize it because the big blades would go around, and the pulse from the blades would make this fiberglass just pulse, you know. And on the top of it, they stretched a webbing of cables back and forth, all the way across the top of this thing. And it was like, I don't know, probably 30 or 40 feet across here with steel cable webbings. And you had to pull it, stick the eye bolt through the side of the top, and put a nut on it. And I had this guy working with me. His name was Melvin Jenkins. And Melvin was converted. He became converted through my testimonies. And he was and is today, his whole family is a diligent follower of the Lord. But Melvin was a husky guy, more stronger than I was, you know, and he was pulling the cable and I was starting the nuts. You would go to the next one. And he got kind of tired, because after you go around just so far, the thing stops egg shaping and it gets harder to pull them through there. So he got tired, and I said, "Melvin, get out the way and let me pull the cable and you put the nut on there." He said, "You sure that arm of yours healed?" I says, "I am sure this arm is healed." So I would use, just on purpose, I'd use that arm that used to be broken. And I'd reach out there and pull that cable through there, and he would start the nut. And he became convinced. That was the first job I had. Of course, it was a proving of my faith too, you know, that God was going to do this thing. You know, God is awesome. You know what? When we act on what we see in this book, it's kind of like Peter walking on the water. Lord, you just say the word, and I'm coming. All he needed was one word, and the Lord only gave him one word: come. And he stepped out of the boat. He acted on that one word, and it held him up. He acted on that one word, and it held him up. The Lord said, come, and stepped out of the boat. You know, all we need for our provision is one word from God. We need to study this thing like we've never studied it in our life. And we need to study it like it's the first time we ever studied it. Because you know what? When you do that, you start getting the real revelation there. Because a lot of times we read it with our predetermined thinking, you know, something that's been put in us by other people, you know. But if you just read it like it's a new book, like you never read it before, and like you're looking for a revelation from God, and you're asking Him to do this, He's going to do it. And He's going to show you things you've never seen before and never heard out of the mouth of a preacher. Never. He's going to show you things like that. God is awesome. You know, I learned there has to be a connection between our works and our mind. Let me tell you what happened one time. I preached one time on the imagination. You know that verse we were talking about earlier, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18? It says, "We behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord, and we're transformed into that same image from glory to glory." Well, when you behold Jesus, you don't see a sick Jesus there, do you? You don't see a Jesus under any curse. You don't see a Jesus that's corrupt. You don't see any of those things there. But it is an imagination. You have to see Him in your imagination, right? You can't literally walk up to a mirror and see Jesus. So it's an imagination. It's a renewed imagination. See? So I taught on this one day. I said, I believe that the Lord has shown me there's a connection between the imagination, the thoughts in our mind, and the actions that we do. And I believe that God wants faith to be in our whole being, to make a completed circuit. And I shared some things about the imagination, how that we should imagine what we prayed and believed for. We should imagine that it's done in Jesus' name. Well, I'll tell you, after I preached that, we had some trials to prove it. First thing happened was, well, I'm going to have to skip a few of them because I only got a few minutes. There was this brother that came to the meeting. He said, "David," he said, "ever since that hurricane, my pool has been losing water. Hundreds and hundreds of thousands, I think he said thousands of gallons a day just going out of this pool. Just drops. He said, "I don't know what to do about it. I can't find any above ground leak. It may be an underground leak. I don't know what it is." I says, "Bob, let's imagine that pool fixed." I mean, our little assembly was there and we were talking. I said, "Here's what we're going to do. We're going to fix our mind on your pool," because everybody there had seen his pool. We'd actually had get-togethers over there and they'd seen his pool. So we're going to fix our mind on that pool. And we're going to command that pool not to leak one more drop of water in the name of Jesus. And then we're going to see it fixed. We're going to see it as fixed in our imagination. However you can do that in your imagination. So he said, "Okay." So I just prayed the prayer for us. I said, we all closed our eyes and we just imagined that pool. I said, "Pool, I command you in the name Lord Jesus Christ, I forbid you not to leak one more drop in the name of Jesus Christ." I said, "Bob, keep an eye on that pool." And Bob went home and he washed that pool. And he washed that pool for a few days. He said, "David, that pool never leaked another drop." So then we went on to, quite a few things happened at this time. We fixed our imagination on them. And we saw it, we spoke it with our mouth, We believed it with our mind, and we fixed, saw it in our imagination. Another thing was that Bob had these mole crickets marching across his yard, just literally marching, wiping out his grass, just eating up all the roots. And Bob was the kind of guy that if you gave him a little bit of faith, he did. Bob started exercising faith for everything. I mean, I talked about cursing ants in my yard and mole crickets and telling them to get out of my yard. Well, the Lord did that for me for years, and He did it with Bob too. Bob says, I ain't putting no poison on that stuff. We're going to believe by faith that God's going to stop these things in the name of Jesus. And the neighbor was getting on him because the neighbor didn't want him in his yard. And the neighbor wanted him to go out there and poison those mole crickets. The neighbor was jumping on Bob. And Bob says, we need to pray. I said, I'll tell you what, Bob, let's imagine those things coming across you. I was talking to everybody there. I said, but let's imagine those things coming across your yard, wiping your yard out. And let's speak to them and see them die in our imagination. And I spoke a prayer, and Bob spoke a prayer. I said, I command you, mole crickets, in the name of Jesus Christ, you cannot take one more inch of that yard. And Bob said, and I command you to die and become fertilizer in the name of Jesus Christ. I said, Bob, go home and get a fix off of your front porch, you know, off your post on your front porch, and see exactly where they are right now. And he did that. And he said, he came back the next meeting. He said, David, they ain't moved one more inch. And not only that, I went out there and dug around in the grass, and there ain't one living mole cricket out there in that grass. Not one. Praise God. Now, God is awesome, you know. Well, I discovered something there. I mean, the Lord blessed me to understand something there, is that really He does want our whole being involved in this. If you cannot imagine something being true, generally your faith won't be able to grab hold to it, you know. But look, we created these imaginations. They were not sent from God. We imagined what we wanted to imagine. You know, Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you ask whatever you will, it shall be done unto you. You see, the person that's got His word in them is a person that's totally dependable, and God knows it. So He makes that condition. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask anything you want, it'll be done. Well, this is something Bob wanted, and he didn't want to put poison on his yard. How many of you know that man cannot stop the curse? Only God stops the curse. God sent the curse, and man can't stop it. What man does when he tries to stop it is he creates more of a curse. You poison your yard's poisoned. It goes down in the water, and you end up drinking it. And it goes here, and it goes there. All you're doing is pushing it around from one place to the other, but you're not getting rid of the curse. I mean, penicillin. Look what happened. They kept breeding stronger and stronger germs until penicillin won't touch them no more. And now they're wondering, what are we going to do? We don't have any more wonder drugs on the horizon to save us. They didn't destroy the curse. They bred it stronger and stronger and stronger. My mom was taking a drug for many, many years. She didn't know what the side effect was. The doctor never told her. One day she was looking through the Reader's Digest side effects of medicine. You know what it said? The two side effects of this medicine is breast cancer and glaucoma. And she had them both. Stupid trade-off. There was no destruction of that curse whatsoever. It was much worse. My dad was taking a drug because he'd smoked for many, many years. And the drug was to put more oxygen into his bloodstream. Of course, the side effects, it was a cortisone derivative, and you know what? That weakens muscles. The doctor examined him and said, "Well, Mr. Eels, one thing for sure," he said, "you're never going to die of a heart attack. You got the heart of a much younger man." Is what he told him. And within a month, my dad had a massive heart attack. You know, people die all the time, and it all gets covered up. But I can tell you, nobody's getting rid of the curse. The only one that ever got rid of the curse is Jesus Christ, and there's only one way. You go to Him by faith, you see. And all of our efforts are doing nothing to get rid of the curse. If you do it God's way, He will get rid of it. He will get rid of it permanently. You know, I came to the Lord with weaknesses that were passed on genetically to me. My whole family had these sinus problems and inner ear infections and all this stuff. It was kind of passed on to me. It was a weakness. When I came to the Lord, my eardrums had probably burst a dozen times when I came to the Lord. I didn't have any of those little tubes that they put in them after that. You know, I didn't have none of that stuff. I would get an ear infection, the eustachian tube going up the back of your throat would swell closed. I would get an infection and it would burst my eardrums. Very painful. Otherwise, I would go and get them lanced sometimes. Very painful. And my sinuses year-round. I carried this bottle of neosinephrine with me to open up my sinuses year-round. I had this. My dad was the same way, and his dad was that way. I came to the Lord, and I saw what the Lord did for me. I took that bottle and chunked it in the garbage can and started thanking God that I didn't have any more of this anymore. You know what? That was the last day my nostrils closed up. That was the last day. It has never happened in 30 years since that happened. You know what? When you overcome something, you do something God's way, you don't have to keep on fighting this thing. It's kind of like the Israelites. Well, okay, boys, you didn't get it right this time. Go around again. So it went around again, you know. Why are we going round and round for 40 years in this wilderness, you know? Because you didn't get it right. Get it right, you know. It's a very short path from Egypt to the Promised Land, unless you take these circles, you know, that they were doing out there. You know, a very short path. You know, God's way is the easiest way, but it demands death to the flesh, you know, our old flesh. Everything God has you know, another genetic thing that was passed on to me was on my mama's side is glaucoma. I was attacked with glaucoma about 6 or 7 years ago, and my eyes got very painful. I mean, the most precious thing to me was reading the Bible. That's the heaviest thing I pick up during the day, usually, is the Bible, you know. And I study it day in and day out. And you can see by my pages, you know, how yellow they are. This Bible is not that old, but it's got a lot of hard miles on it. And I wash my hands before I use it, actually. But I got attacked with my eyes, and it's like one of them went farsighted and one of them went nearsighted, and it was very painful. They were throbbing, you know. It was just very painful for me to read. And I guess I could have gone and gotten some adjustment and gotten some medicine and gotten some glasses and, you know, all that. But I knew it was a trial from the Lord, and the Lord had always healed me. So I rebuked it in the name of Jesus, and I held firm, and I went through a little bit of pain, and I endured the trial of that pain. Do you think you would suffer a little bit in order to see God's glory so that you could tell? Do you think it's worth suffering a little bit sometimes? Some people don't think it's worth, if I have to suffer, it can't be God's will. I just will go back to Egypt, you know. Well, no, that's not true. You just might suffer a little bit, you know. But God will be faithful. And I did suffer a little bit. And lo and behold, my eyes started clearing right back up. And, you know, like sometimes happens, the devil likes to steal back the territory that the Bible, Jesus said he will steal the seed which is sown in your heart. He comes to steal it. Why? He doesn't want you to have a victory. If you got a victory, you're going to tell somebody else. And then they're going to have a victory. And they're going to tell somebody else. And then they're going to have a victory. I can tell you there's quite a few people in our assembly that don't wear glasses anymore. Quite a few of them. My wife is one of them. Prayed for her years ago. She threw her glasses away. She hadn't needed them since. Quite a few people there don't need them anymore. And, you know, that's where I went. I trusted God. He healed my eyes. Within a few months, this attack came right back on me. And you can say, well, it didn't work. Never say that. Never say that. The devil is going to come back. He is going to try to take testimony. But you're not healed because you feel healed. Or because it looks like you're healed. You're healed because the Bible says you're healed. Remember that. And when he comes, you can tell him to get lost because you know you're healed. You see, after my wife, the Lord spoke to my wife and said that, if you believe that I've healed you, why are you taking all that medicine? And she got healed. A month later, when her pre-op visit had been scheduled by the doctor because the insurance was going to come up, on that day, the symptoms came back. And we knew that there's an evil intelligence behind this. Why would they come back on that day? But you know what? We had been reading the Bible and we discovered that the devil was behind this. So we just told him to get lost. We don't accept it. She was healed and that's all. You know what? The symptoms went away and they hadn't come back since. We're in a battle here, folks. But we've already won. Jesus said, be of good cheer. I've already overcome the world. He's already overcome for us. We're just claiming a victory that He brought at the cross, you know. We're claiming the victory that He gave to us freely, you know. All we've got to do is agree with Him and don't agree with nothing else, anything else. Don't agree with anything your eyes see. You know what they had to do when they took the promised land? They had to conquer the five kings that ruled the promised land. You know who the five kings are? Your senses. They rule over this promised land right here. And Joshua and his men captured these five kings and cast them into a hole in the earth and put rocks over that hole to keep them from coming out. You know what the hole in your earth is? It's this one right here. Don't let those five senses speak out of your mouth because they have ruled your life long enough. Don't let the Word of God come out of your mouth. If you don't agree with anything but the Word of God, you will see what it says. Jesus is the high priest of our confession, which means homo legeo, to speak the same as. We are priests. Hebrews 13 says that we offer up the sacrifice which makes confession to His name. We give our high priest a sacrifice. He offers it before the Father, and we get what we have confessed. And we're not to ever disagree with the Word of God. We're not to ever give in to our senses. You know what? When they came back, they pulled those rocks out. Those rocks represented the Word of God. They were not permitting those five kings to come out of that cave in the earth. And they pulled those rocks out, pulled those guys out of there, laid them on the ground, and Joshua's men went and put their foot on their necks. You know why? So they couldn't speak. Put their feet on their necks and wouldn't let them speak. And when they did get up, they hung them on a tree. You know what? We were crucified with Christ. He gave us victory. He gave us victory over these senses. We are not to be ruled by these senses. We are to be ruled by what thus saith the Lord.
This series by David Eales will be continued on our next broadcast. Thank you for tuning in. For more information and materials, go to www.americaslastdays.com.